everyone. It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. You'd never guess that Darlene Martin is in her 90s. She still enjoys working on quilts with her daughter. We had such fun talking about her life and her quilts. Thank you so much for talking with me today on A Quilter's Life. I really appreciate it. Let's begin with your background. Where were you born?
At Fleming, Ohio, which is just west of Marietta. I-50. At that time, it was just a gravel road. And I was born at home in the house.
And you grew up out there?
No. My mother and father moved to Vincent, which is just a little further west. He had a filling station, and he carried a mail route. Marietta to Zanesville.
So did you go to school out there, or did you come into Marietta for school?
School age, my mother and father were divorced, and my mother moved in with her sister in Bartlett, Ohio, and then later she was, we were down with her mother and her stepfather, and then her stepfather gave her a little piece of land, and she had a building put up and had a little country store, filling station and store at Fleming and Vincent. So she knew a little bit about running a store.
Do you have a special memory from that time?
Oh, no, nothing really special. There was, I suppose, a lot of things that snow in the wintertime when the bus couldn't go.
Yeah, that was always a good day, huh?
Well, you know, I think we had no electricity, no running water, no phone. We did have cousins that lived very close to us, and of course grandparents who lived very close, so we got to visit them during the summer. But I was always, I think, kind of glad when school started and I got back among other friends.
Yeah. What did you do after school?
I graduated from high school in 1945. And, of course, President Roosevelt had been president the entire time I was in school. If you recall, he was elected to 4 terms. So during World War II, they had started the Cadet Nurse Corps, among other things that he had started to employ people and train people. And so I went from high school into the Cadet Nurse Corps in Zanesville, Ohio.
Okay.
Of course, shortly after we got started, the war was over, and the program was stopped, but since we were far enough through, we were kept in the program for the 3 years.
And so you became a nurse?
Yes.
Where did you work as a nurse?
Well, since my home was down in Washington County, I came back to Marietta, and got a job at Marietta Memorial Hospital.
Where was it located at the time?
The hospital?
Is it at the same place it is now, or was it in a different place in town?
It's the same place, but it's kind of hidden in amongst all the additions and new buildings that have been put around it. You would not believe. I don't know what rooms would actually be part of the old building. is very small. Well, not exceedingly small, but quite small. And there were houses on all sides of it and below it, which have since been torn down to make parking lots or to expand the hospital.
Yeah, well, I know it's changed a lot in the last 20 years, so I was wondering what it was like back then.
Well, it would be interesting. You should do some research and try to find an old picture of it.
I'll have to do that.
Up on a little bank, and you went up steps from the street to the building. Most people probably went in the emergency room exit, which was at the back. It was ground level.
Yeah.
And then my husband, we got married shortly and started raising a family. And so my working days kind of stopped for quite a while.
Yeah. Once you got married, did you live in Marietta or did you always live in Williamstown?
No, we lived in Marietta a while. Then we lived in Parkersburg a while, and Jim went to Mountain State Business College. He had decided that he had to get a further education to provide for a family. And then he apparently felt that wasn't going to be enough. He had been in the Navy, so he was going to school on the GI Bill.
Yeah.
So then he transferred to Ohio University in Athens, and we lived there while he went to finish his college.
Oh, that was a big move. Yeah.
And then his first job was in Defiance, Ohio, clear up in the northwest corner of Ohio.
Yeah.
And we were up there probably, I don't know whether much over 3 years, probably not. And then he took a job with, it was called Dayton Rubber, but they had a subsidiary in Marietta, which was called Sponge Rubber. And so we moved back to Marietta.
Neat. Were you looking for a way to get back, or it just opened up that you could?
It opened up that we could.
Neat.
He thought he was going to have to go to Dayton, Ohio. Then at one time they were going to send him to a place up in Three Rivers, Michigan. And then they changed their mind. So then they sent him to Marietta, which was nice.
Yeah.
Came back to Marietta. And then we lived in Marietta for a while. And then we bought a house, and it was in Williamstown.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in Williamstown ever since.
Wow. Let's talk about some of the crafts you do besides quilting before we get into the quilting. Do you do other crafts?
Not really. I'm not very talented in crafty stuff.
Okay.
I think the part I like about quilting, I don't do quilting. I like to cut and piece and design the tops of quilts.
Yeah.
That's my main. My forte in school was math, and so I like exact things, and I like to make straight seams.
Yeah.
Of course, when the kids were little, I did a lot of sewing. I made dresses for them.
Mm-hmm.
Made some dresses for myself.
Yeah.
Wasn't a stranger to the sewing machine, but there comes a time when you no longer need to make dresses, so.
Right. Do you have other hobbies like cooking or gardening?
I don't garden. When I had five children, I did a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
I considered it at that time kind of a chore. I kind of enjoy it.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I do watch the cooking shows on TV. In fact, what I was just watching when you called was Meet Bobby Flay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether you've ever watched that or not, but
I have. Yeah, those are good shows.
Well, I don't know why I watch them, because I don't do a lot of cooking, because I'm here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like to watch them.
Yeah. And you also like to read?
I do.
What kind of books do you like?
I like mysteries. But right now, I'm reading The Pioneers. It's about the founding of the Northwest Territory and the people from Massachusetts and over east coming here to settle. The Indian Wars, of course, and then they finally got the Indians, made a treaty with them. So it was a little safer.
Yeah. Did you get a signed copy?
No.
Oh, neither did I.
Got someplace over at Curves or someplace. I don't know where she got it. It's a book that she loaned to me. I thought mm-hmm. she had her own copy. But she told me the other day that, no, this was the only copy she had. So,
okay.
Got to get it finished so she can finish it.
Yeah, I have it. It's on my nightstand. I haven't gotten too far in it yet. Yeah, there's my husband's ancestors mentioned in the book. So looking forward to reading it.
Well, the more I read in it, the more interesting it gets. It was a few days ago, I was reading where they were starting a library in it. At that time, it was just called Ames. It's now Amesville.
Yeah.
And it's called the Coonskin Library. So I texted Janice that one of these days, we're going to have to take a ride over to Amesville, go through the Coonskin Library.
That would be neat. Yeah, one of the ancestors in Guthrie's family, we saw a picture of him down in the museum down on 2nd Street. And they said that he's holding a book and there was ships in the background because the whole painting showed that he was a shipbuilder and that he was literate and had his own library. So those kind of things are interesting.
Yeah,
how much they put into pictures. We just take pictures today and don't think a whole lot about that.
I think what I was reading last night was about Aaron Burr
yeah.
and his escapades here.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard Hassett and his having, I forget what the shipbuilder's name was, but it was in Marietta. And he built 12 ships for him, I think, something like that. And before they got that all done, the government stepped in and arrested both of them. But
yeah.
Anyway, Marcia's been wanting me to work on this quilt a little bit, and I find it hard to put the book down.
Yeah.
I'm forcing myself today.
Yeah. Who introduced you to quilting?
Well, there again, it was probably TV. Saturday Nose.
Yeah.
Georgia Bone Steel. Eleanor Byrne. Some of the other quilters. And I got a lot of their books.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a lot of my quilt designs, quilt patterns. So I guess it was just watching TV.
Okay. Yeah, I think they had shows on PBS, or were they on other channels?
Mostly on PBS. And I had gone back to work, of course, after the children were old enough that I didn't have to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have Jim tape a lot of those shows on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I've still got those tapes. I doubt if they're They're probably all stuck together. And I don't know that I have a machine working that would play them if they were playable, but I've got them.
Yeah. In case you need a refresh on how to put things together.
And I still watch the cooking or the quilting shows on TV on Saturday.
What ones are on now?
Well, they change from time to time. I forget just what ones are on now, what the names of them are. A lot of it now is the quilting machines, and Marcia has been, in fact, Marcia spent hours yesterday down at Bolts and Quarters.
Uh-huh.
One of their quilting machines, learning how to use them. And she, with the help of the machine, she quilted a quilt yesterday.
Neat. Do you have a favorite quilt?
I don't think I do, really.
How about a favorite pattern? Do you have, like, a go-to pattern when you want to get one done?
No. I think at one time there was a fabric store over on Tiber Way.
Yeah.
They had quilting classes on Friday or Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And those classes were very interesting. And we would do a square a month. They would give us like two of the colors and we would furnish our own background color.
Yeah.
And they would give us the pattern. One of them was the Underground Railroad, and it was various patterns. Each square was different.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one that Janice has, Famous Women, or Women of History. And each square there was different. And that one was a challenge.
Was it?
One square. I think these were 12-inch squares. And it had over 100 pieces in it.
Oh, wow. That does sound like a challenge.
Fun to put together.
You've probably seen the tools changing over the years. Do you have a favorite tool?
Yes, I do. And I've got it on my machine right now. It's a special presser foot, not presser foot, kind of, it, in a way it is.
The walking foot?
Yeah, something like that. It keeps the fabric going very smoothly.
Is it has teeth on the top? Is that the one you're talking about that matches the teeth on the bottom?
It has teeth on the top. Well, I mean, yes. That's probably the difference. I never thought of that. The others do not have teeth, do they?
No.
Ah.
It helps the material live more at the same rate.
Now I know why it works so well. Thank you.
Well, yeah, we had to get one of those for that one quilting class I took, so that's why I knew what that was.
It's really the ideal thing for doing anything with quilts.
Yeah.
In fact, I use it sometimes for just regular sewing.
Uh-huh. You know, that makes sense.
Sometimes it's kind of a struggle to get on there, but so that's why I leave it on the machine a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of bulky, isn't it?
Well, it's just that you have to take that little bolt out.
Right.
And part of the presser foot holder drops mm-hmm. off, and then you've got to get it back up there and line up that screw hole and keep that little arm over there.
Yeah. You mentioned you like to do the piecing. Do you like designing what you're going to do or actually working on piecing the pieces together better?
Well, I kind of like to pick out the fabric I've got several boxes full of fabric in the basement that I buy too much.
Right.
And I may decide on a pattern I want to use and have to go buy more material.
So when you go shopping, do you ever buy just because you like material, or do you usually have a project in mind?
After I started quilting, and I guess probably after I was retired, we would go on little trips with Jim's brother and his wife. If we came close to a piece good shop, I would go in and get some fabric. And sometimes I liked it so well I didn't want to use it.
So you still have some of those pieces?
Everything is mine to use it on.
Yeah.
I just bought it because I liked it.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to buy material.
Thinking back on the quilts you have made, is there a worst quilting experience?
Well, there's one that I gave to Marcia years ago. I don't know whether she still has it or not. But I started out, it was a kind of a chain of design. And I know green in it. And I don't know what other color. Probably two shades of green. Because the way it was pieced, these chains interlocked.
Okay.
And I ran out of one fabric.
Oh, no.
So instead of trying to get more of that, I just substituted another fabric and finished the top. And I was not happy with it. But I had it quilted and gave it to Marcia. I don't know whether she still has it or not, but it was not definitely a quilt that I liked. So you shouldn't take shortcuts. I'll have to ask her about that quilt one of these days.
Yeah.
She doesn't hang on to stuff too long. She may have gotten rid of that quilt.
Really? Why do you make quilts?
That I couldn't tell you. Right now, I am not making quilts. I'm just helping Marcia. I think when I was doing it, it was mainly to have something to do. Create something. I got interested in it watching the shows on TV, and I just wanted to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the challenge, I guess, of putting those pieces together.
What kind of tips would you give to others that want to quilt?
Well, you know, I don't really advise people too much because everybody has their own ideas, and I don't want to influence them because I'm not sure that mine are any better than theirs. So I don't give a lot of advice.
Okay.
If people don't ask for your advice, they don't want it.
My mind was swirling around with that. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. Do you know about how many quilts you've made?
No, I don't. I do know. This was really funny. When I turned 90, a friend of mine had had her 90th birthday before me. And she had told her kids she wanted fireworks and the whole thing, you know.
Wow.
And I told my kids, I said, do not do anything for my birthday. I said, if you do, I will leave town. Well, they decided that I wouldn't go very far because I drive my car to church over in Marietta.
Yeah.
And I go to the grocery store. And I go out to Lowe's. Well, anyway, the girls decided, apparently, that they were going to do something and surprise me. I had told them, do not do any surprising.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one day, Janice and I were over at the Lafayette Shopping Center. We were at Peebles, and she bought some things. And we took them out to the car, and we were going to go into Las Chancas and have lunch. She just started putting these packages in the back seat of her car, and I said, Janice, you should put those in your trunk. Nah, they'll be all right. Well, I didn't insist because, you know, hey, her package is her car.
Yeah.
So we had our lunch. We came out and the packages were still there. They were okay. Well, the whole family was here for Sternwheel Festival. So they were here like on Saturday evening. Before they all left, Marcia said to me, are you going to church in the morning? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm coming in to go with you. Okay. She said, I'll pick you up. Okay. So she came and she picked me up and we went over to church. And I walked in. And the whole front of the church was festooned with quilts.
Neat.
And we walked up and sat down in the pew, and I said, what's with all the quilts? Marcia didn't have much to say. And finally, I started looking at them individually, and I said, what's to do with all my quilts? And Janice had saved a lot of the sweatshirts that I had made quilted collars for, and I don't know how many quilts they had draped over the front of that church. And they had cupcakes, and, you know, of course they had to read this little story of why they were showing those quilts. But anyway, they didn't try anything like that on my 91st or 92nd birthday. But if I could remember half of the quilts I made, it would, well, for example, I was down at Jeff's one time, Jim and I were, and we were sleeping in Jeff's bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up early and read or do something before getting out of bed. And I was reading and looking at this quilt that we were sleeping under.
Yeah.
Didn't recognize it as one I had made until I really started looking at it. And I thought, I used to have a dress made out of that when I was a kid. I remember that fabric. I made dresses out of that for the kids. And here was a quilt I had made. So I've made a lot that I've forgotten about. One quilt that I did make that I was really kind of disappointed in, but Janice has used it for years and years and years. It was, don't think it was card tricks, but it used four different fabrics. And I made those squares, and I did quilt them as I went.
Okay.
And then I sewed them together.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not cut out enough of the batting. And so the seams where I put the things together, I did it all by hand. Seemed super heavy. And it was a king size quilt. So it was a heavy thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't too happy with it. But John and Janice used it on their bed. It is just now starting to, some of the fabric is starting to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the quilted jacket. I got to see Janice's where you quilted the area where it's a hood, but you made it square. Can you describe how you did that? Or
well, I'd just buy a sweatshirt and cut it down the front, cut out a V, then quilt a square and incorporate it into a collar and bind it to the sweatshirt.
You did a great job on the one I saw.
I made a lot of those, and she had a lot of those hanging over the altar rail, too.
Uh-huh.
I made them in every color.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, probably why I ended up with so much fabric.
Yeah. Did you use different patterns on the different jackets you made?
Yeah. I've got a little notebook with pictures of all of them.
Did you usually send your quilts out for someone else to quilt?
Yes. Now, I did the collars.
Yeah.
But they were manageable, but the quilts, other than the one that I did for Janice, quilting the squares and then putting it together, that was probably my first quilt.
Wow.
And I decided that was a little much to work with.
And you were pretty pleased with someone else doing the quilting part?
Yes. There was a couple down in Lubeck. Their last name was Yoho. I don't know how I got their name, but I would take my quilts down there. They had a quilting frame set up in, out on a sun porch, and they both quilted, she and her husband.
Oh.
At first, I didn't realize they both quilted, but after a quilt or two, they told me this, you know. So I came home and I looked at the quilt that I, the first quilt I had taken down there. There was not a bit of difference in their quilting. It was all beautiful. There's stitches. You couldn't tell where she had quilted or where he had quilted.
Oh, wow. So they both worked on the same quilt. They didn't do separate quilts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
They did good work. But I did my own bindings.
I've noticed different people like different widths of binding. I tend to like a small binding. What did you usually put on your quilts?
A small binding. And for a long time, I would stitch it on the top with the machine and then turn it and do the other part by hand. So that there's no stitching coming through.
But, right. You know,
Marcia and I don't do that now.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with me?
I don't think there's too much more of interest. But I used up all my blue scraps one time on this wedge pattern. And just using up my blue material.
Yeah.
And it used two lights and two darks in each square. I just kept putting those squares together, you know, little squares, and then putting the little squares together.
Yeah.
And I had it out on the living room floor to measure and to see how big a backing I had to make for it before I took it to the quilter. And James, that's Janice's boy, happened in, and he saw it there. And I said, he said something about, did you make this? And I said, yeah. I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. He said, I like blue. So I said, okay, it's yours. So he's got it, and he loves it, I guess.
Yeah. I bet he's happy he happened to come by that day.
I guess. I think I told you about making the, I think it's grandmother's flower garden.
Yeah, remind me.
I was using up scraps again.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a 9-patch. And I made all these squares. Well, then I needed sashing. Now, this was, I was using up scraps.
Okay.
But I didn't have anything suited material for sashing. So I had to go buy some material for sashing. And I had to buy material for backing.
Yeah.
And then I had to pay to get it quilted. So that scrap quilt was not a very cheap quilt.
No.
But Janice liked it. She's got that one.
I bet they're all beautiful.
Some of them were. Some of them were just pretty common. But I think the ones that I made at the quilting class.
Yeah.
They were unique because every square was different.
Mm-hmm.
The colors were all the same. I mean, they gave us each month, they gave us the same color.
Right.
That was the main colors in the fabric. I really enjoyed those sessions.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for visiting with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.